everybody. Welcome back to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 207. Right off the hop, before we even start talking about anything, Peter St. John hitting us with a $10 super chat. Peter St. John, thank you so much for supporting the show, buddy. Do appreciate that. If you want, next time, save that and go to the store and get something for your efforts, buddy. Again, certainly do appreciate it. Now, he says, will Granlund hit 60 points?
Do you know where he's at right now?
I don't, actually.
Well, he is on a streak right now. He's at 51 points.
Ooh. Okay, but the Sharks have how many games left?
Eight games,
yeah.
But look at this, his last five games.
He's crushing.
Got, yeah, he's got six
one,
points.
One, one, two, one, yeah, okay. I don't know. What do you think? You think he's going to get there? I mean, I don't know. For part
Nine
of me
points.
Says part of me says the point per game pace is nice in a small window.
He's
but
on pace. He's currently on pace to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, with how his hot streak right now. So, I don't know. Should we do a bet?
The smile on your face tells me you're feeling confident.
Yeah. I'm feeling confident.
Sometimes confidence is misplaced
with
you.
Are we going to get the pie tin out again? Still have some whipped cream left.
No, this isn't something I'm passionate about. But will he get to 60 points? You're going to go with yes, aren't you?
9 points in 8 games.
Yeah.
Assuming he doesn't get hurt, I'll say yes.
That's something you have to factor in. You have to factor that in. He might get hurt.
All right, I'll say yes.
Okay.
I'll still say yes. You can say no and be the mean guy.
I'm not going to be the mean guy, but I am going to say no. I say he's going to slow down just a bit. He might even get to 59 points.
Even Nick is excited saying pie bet.
You see? You see what I did there?
What? No.
I think he might get to 59 points, but maybe not 60. Those of you who know, certainly you know, and if you do, you're probably a subscriber, and if you're not, what are you doing? Hit the button, hit the bell, you'll know when we're going live, you can get in here, bing, just like that, you can get in here with everybody else, having a nice, fun time, chatting it up when we do go live. Obviously today, a special day, it's a Tuesday, not a Monday. Normally we go live on Mondays, however, Sharks had a game on Monday, so we decided to do it on a Tuesday and said, if you were not a subscriber, you may not have known that. So it's a good idea. Hit the button, Aaron.
That's smooth. That was nice.
You like that?
That's good. Yeah,
that's good. I've been working on that. I really haven't though.
Right. Sure you haven't.
Can you tell that I haven't? Because it's always very choppy.
Yeah.
Regardless, let's just keep going with that whole sentiment here. If you guys would like to be as awesome as Peter St. John, please feel free to check out the Super Chat function. You can do that. There's a little button down there somewhere, I'm sure. You can click it and just like that. You can also support the show with Venmo at the Fin Factor. If you don't want to go through the Super Chat function, you can do it there. You can do the same thing. Put a comment in there. We'll read it out live on the show. And if it's after the show, no problem. We'll read it during the next one. So not a big deal. If you also like to support the show, as I said earlier, you can go to thefinfactor.com, pick up a hat, shirt, beanie, windshield wiper blades, lots of cool stuff that's on there. Again, some of this made up. You'll have to figure out what's actually in the store by going there. So please do that. Great way to support the show and get something back in return. Aaron, what are you laughing about?
Peter St. John said, Paul, I do get something for my money.
Oh, that's true. What is this? The Price is Right? Yes. The Price is Wrong. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's a fun right. movie. I like that movie. Okay. yeah, I do get something very good. Okay.
Goat, will Granlund finish with more points than Carlson?
Okay, how many points does Carlson have?
I don't know, I gotta look that up.
Oh, man.
I haven't been paying attention.
Here we go. Here we go.
What do you think he has?
Obviously,
I'm guessing under.
Last season, getting to 100 points. This season, I thought it would go a lot better for Carlson.
Carlson's at 47 points.
He will end with more points than Carlson. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind he'll end up with more points than Carlson.
Carlson has been doing nothing. Also, like his streak, he's got 1 point in his last, 12 games?
Oof.
10 games.
Yeah, not what they're paying him for.
No. Nope.
They're paying him a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
If I recall.
Partially.
Well, but it's still a good amount.
Right.
Regardless.
10 million?
Yeah, something like that.
We kept
that.
A million and a half?
We picked a
right?
million and a half, yeah.
Yeah,
so 10 mil, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, Aaron, we've got quite a few things here. Now, I wanted to address a comment, actually, that was made. This is a little bugging me. Anyway, this there was a comment that was made on our previous video, mm-hmm. and it's by a new subscriber whose name is... I can't see him on the screen. You're going to have to tell me. Who is the...
I know we're pulling out.
Our new subscriber.
2001 Lexda Lion S. That's a hard one.
Lexda Lioness?
Lexda? Lioness.
I'm going to guess it's Lex the Lioness. And I'm going to say, hey, thank you for being a new subscriber. Do appreciate you. Obviously, you maybe haven't seen the show often. What we do is we usually start off the show with talking about the previous games. And I know we put things in there saying, like, hey, this is what we're going to talk about on our thumbnail. However, every show we start off talking about kind of the games that happened the previous week. And the comment was, if you can just kind of paraphrase what she said there, or he said, or whoever it was.
I don't know if it's a girl, but they suggested that we add chapters in because we tend to ramble and it's kind of hard to follow along and see what you want to listen to. And I totally understand. And we normally do put chapters in, but I got caught. We've been lazy, so we will be sure to put in those chapters from going forward.
Absolutely. So we'll go ahead and be more cognizant of that going forward. But just so you know, pretty much every episode that we do, we're usually talking about the games that happened in the previous week, and then we'll jump into like some of the other stuff that's going on. So well, let's do that right now. Aaron, we had a game against the Stars, did not go very well, but I think maybe the game was a little bit closer at points than the final score indicated.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharks kind of came back, I guess you could say. Yeah. It was close. It was within a goal. So they were down, was it 3-0?
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0, and then they came back and made it 4-3. Or they were down 4-3, so right. Within a goal. And then Dallas quickly took the lead back and then scored yet again in the third period to get the final score of 6-3. So, yeah. This is a good team. This is a top. I would say Dallas is in the top 10 easily.
Yeah.
In terms of like the league, like the top third of the league, mm-hmm. Sharks are obviously at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So this is just, I think, a case of a.
Thank you for clarifying that. By the way.
Oh, you're welcome. A team that has a lot of skill throughout their lineup versus a team that does not, and when hard work doesn't always pay off, you lose by skill sometimes. And Dallas is a very good team, so. No brainer. I think we talked about this at the end of last show of the upcoming games going, yeah, we're not winning the Dallas game, are we?
Yeah. It's okay. We're not winning many games. If we have to lose to a very good team, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Eklund had a very nice pass. I don't know if you caught this goal or not, but mm-hmm. It was, again, I've seen him do this several times over now, where he'll start taking the puck behind the net, mm-hmm. and just as the goalie is kind of going from one post and starting to look towards the other, he passes it right where he was coming from, and he catches the goalie a little bit off guard. Now, this time around, I don't think the goalie really moved that much. He didn't really get fooled, but the pass was beautiful. The defense that was in front of the net started to curl away from the front of the net to go and meet him on the other side, mm-hmm. where he was going, and so that gave, who was it that scored this goal? Barabanov. Gave him the amount of room and that he needed to get the shot off, and this thing was just a beautiful shot. So another great play by William Eklund, and again, one of the main reasons that most Sharks fans who are having a hard time watching the losses can watch these games and still somewhat enjoy them, because you see little flashes of brilliance like this coming from William Eklund. I am so excited to see what he can do with a new cast of characters coming in, a younger cast that is going to help him kind of really take advantage of his advanced skill set. I just can't wait for the next season.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's going to be some really good hockey players that are coming on this team, even, again, in a year or less than a year. But William Eklund is the most improved player, I think. Him and Zetterlund, improved player this entire season. And we're seeing a lot more consistent play with Eklund, and also glimpses of the future, like you're saying, like those passes when he goes behind the net and finds those open guys in the slot, mm-hmm. it's like magic. It's what they call him, Slippery Pete.
Right.
he just eludes defenders, and in this case sometimes the goalies, because he gets them caught looking the other way or trying to cover for a wraparound. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting, and I feel like Sharks fans kind of know it's coming. They know when he goes behind the net, like, oh, he's going to pass. He's gonna try and pass it once the goalie moves to the other side, and you're kind of waiting for it now. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. In this case, it did. So It's exciting. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, the Michigan's coming, right? It's not the Michigan, but you know, it's coming and you're like, ooh, the other team has no idea. Yeah. They don't know what's going to happen. And then it works and you're just like, yeah,
it's the spin move. I think that one, we all know that too. When he's coming up, flying up the right hand side and he starts to cut inside. As soon as that defender takes that step to the inside, you know, he's doing a spin.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody else doesn't quite get that, but as Sharks fans, we've seen it enough times now. You know it's coming. So on the same train, talking about the younger guys, Bortolo connecting with Eklund in this game as well. Really fantastic seeing Bortolo having some success in the show. I really wasn't sure if he was or wasn't NHL caliber talent. I guess he's proving me wrong, because I did say I just think he might be one of those tweeners. He might be a guy who's better than most in the AHL. He was an AHL All-Star, and maybe just not quite there for the NHL. And, you know, again, we have to remember, these guys are very young. We're not going to see what they're capable of in their first season, right, coming on the Sharks. So I'm excited that he was able to make a connection. It's not the first time either, specifically with Eklund, that he's made that connection. But Eklund's got this this thing on the power play now. It's the reverse Ovi office. He's on the opposite wing, because Ovechkin right-handed shot on the left-hand side. Eklund, left-handed shot on the right-hand side. They pretty much camp out in the same area, as an Eklund's shot is actually very good. For a guy who I've praised his skating and his passing ability, his shot is pretty deadly too, especially that one-timer.
Yes, I'm excited. Again, I think I said the same thing. I wasn't so sure if he was going to be making it, especially with these newer guys that will be coming up in the next season or two, if he was going to really even have space on this team. Yeah. But he's showing that... you know, maybe he's not going to be a top six guy, but maybe a middle six guy. And that's totally fine with the amount of talent coming, because this is the kind of guy that you're going to want. Now, I noticed I had some notes down here for later about him, about, and I'll just talk about it now, I guess. I thought I had notes around here. He got a lot of his chances now kind of by the forecheck and hard work. And you're seeing him busting his butt off, and he's skating hard. He doesn't coast. He's not taking, I don't want to bag on him too much again, but he's not taking notes from LeBanc here about
how dare you,
controller man. Disconnect. He's working his tail off and getting rewarded for it. And even the coach, even I didn't get any quotes from Quinn, but this week he's been talking about Bortolo a lot and saying how he's been impressed with his work ethic, and he's really trying hard and doing the little things that they basically sent him down to work on at the Barracuda level. And even then, for a while, he wasn't doing it there. And so they hammered it into him, and it's working, and it's all coming together, and he's making NHL plays. And we're talking about off-the-puck stuff.
Yeah.
With the puck, he already has the skill. That's not really the problem. It's the always trying to make offense happen and playing a little bit more conservative, because the NHL level mistakes will cost you. It'll be deadly, which we've seen many times this season from the Sharks.
Absolutely. They will be costing you. And speaking of costing, Kleem costing, Kleem the dream costing, picking up yet another goal in this game. The guy's on fire. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in the Kraken game, so I'm going to skip past him for now. But Kleem costing, doing a fantastic job so far. It's looking like a great pickup again when we visit him. So let's move on to the Wild game. This game, a 3-1 loss. This is in Minnesota. The highlight here, and I think it was, I want to say J.D. Young? J.D. Yeah, Young.
J.D. Young.
He's with Shang Peng, right?
Yeah, he's with the San Jose Hockey Now podcast.
I believe so.
I think he runs the podcast part.
I'm pretty sure, because again, I'm sorry. I don't listen to other podcasts at all or anything. I just we watch hockey. But I see him on Twitter a lot. That's why I see him on Twitter, and I'm pretty sure it's J.D. Young, and I'm pretty sure he's the podcast guy for the San Jose Hockey Now. So regardless, very funny tweet that he put out saying, "Here's a highlight of all the shots on goal for the Sharks in the first period in this game," and it was a single clip of one shot, because the Sharks put on one shot on goal in the first period. Brutal is not the word for it. That is. I can't even think of a word for it. Guys, roll call. What word describes the one shot on goal? Oh, my goodness. In the entire period, that is ridiculous. I'm sure there were chances. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm sure there were chances, but to only get one that should have gone in, if not for the goaltender, is horrible.
Yeah.
That is, you know, I thought that the Sharks had hit rock bottom. There's a whole nother level here. I mean, one shot on goal?
It's one period and it's the first period. I'd rather be the first than the third period,
buddy,
with one shot on goal.
I don't even care what period it's in. If you can only connect one time, we got issues. That goes beyond just like not having skill. That's a systemic just brain fart. That is horrid. One shot on goal in an entire period. I 20 mean, minutes and you're just getting bombarded.
Minnesota is fighting for their lives right now for a playoff spot, so they're a lot hungrier than the Sharks are.
Fair.
I'm sure they had a nice talking to with the coach saying, these are easy 2 points. We need to go out there and put your hard hats on and get it done. Yeah. We're not going to be like St. Louis, which happened another couple nights, because they're actually chasing St. Louis. Now, Minnesota's got a real kind of a long shot here to make playoffs. They're at 81 points, and LA's the last spot right now at 87, so they're 6 points behind with not many games left. So they need all the points they can get to scratch their way back in. But, this is, again, another team that I don't know why. Some teams have a certain style of play that the Sharks just get destroyed by. Minnesota just seemed to be absolute dominant in this first period. Now, the Sharks did come back in this game. They got a goal by, who was it? I just had it pulled up here. Granlund, again, gets another goal, of course, against his former team. Ties up the game. That was kind of an interesting goal, too. I think it was a 3-on-1, and he went to go pass it to Eklund, and the one defender got his stick on it and batted it down. And
deflected
it
in.
It went right back to Granlund, and he put his own rebound in.
Nice.
Or put the rebound in. So I think it was that goal. I don't think it was the next game. I think that was that game. But that tied the game in the second period. And you could tell, like, the entire arena just deflated because it's in Minnesota. And they're just like, oh. First, it's Granlund, their former guy who's been on their team for a long time. And then they're like, oh, my God, we're tied with the Sharks. Like, this is awful. This is awful. Like, how bad can we go? We don't deserve to be in playoffs if we can't beat the Sharks. That kind of deflating silence in an arena. That's what it was like. Just all the oxygen just came out of the room.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, then, you know. The Sharks were the Sharks in the third period.
Yeah.
Minnesota came back. Now, it was an empty net goal, so it was a closer game than the 3-1 scoreline.
Right.
Really was kind of a 2-1 game. But, yeah, Minnesota going into the locker room, the coach probably had some choice words because they came out on the first shift and scored the go-ahead goal. Was it 18 seconds into the third period? So, and that one was a turnover in the Sharks' defensive zone. The Sharks had complete control of the puck, and instead of turning up, I think it was Kostin, actually. Sorry, your boy here. Instead of turning up the boards to get it out of the zone, he turned back to pass it back to the defender, and the guy who was forechecking cheated that way and got it and then turned it over, and they scored a goal 18 seconds in. So it's an unfortunate bounce, and it's kind of the way the Sharks season has been going in terms of just one simple mistake and it ends up in the back of your net. So unfortunate there, but again, every team in the standings is better than the Sharks because they're at the bottom, but another team that is a little bit better than the Sharks, and they buried it and put it away.
Yeah. So I guess with this one, again, it looks like, you know, they have that little bit of a brain fart and they go down. But, you know, would you say that they were still in the game for the majority of it? Because, again, it seemed a lot closer. They were only down 2-1, 18 seconds into the third. So it's basically the same as kind of going into the third period being down. The difference being you get 18 seconds and then all of a sudden you get this deflated feeling and now you have to finish the period off like that, right? It's not like you get to reset in the locker room. So, I mean, it felt like it was actually a closer game.
It was.
In terms of the shots, was it fairly similar? I didn't get to see what the shots on
the third period, the Sharks actually outshot them 17-10. So they came back and were trying to tie this game up. They were working hard and getting a lot more chances than they were in the first period.
And we'll revisit that theme of them working hard and you know, you talked about forechecking and everything else, being strong in the body, those kinds of things. And if that's what the Sharks are doing in that third period and they just couldn't get it done, at least, again, we take a look at what Mike Greer is trying to build here is the culture of having that effort level, right? And even if you're not going to win, I want you to put everything out there on the ice. At least be proud of the way that you play the game, even if you're getting beat. I guess this is kind of another one of those games where you see that come out. Even though they get beat 18 seconds into third period, they play the rest of the period trying to fight their way back into it. And again, the last goal there being an empty net goal. Really, they only lost this game by a single even strength goal, if you will. So,
now, who do you think leads the league in empty net goals against?
empty net goals against.
It's not an official stat here, but I looked it up.
This is interesting.
I thought it would be the Sharks leading the league with empty net goals against. Yeah. I feel like they've been scored on so many times at the empty net.
I'm definitely saying it's not the Sharks, number one, because you kind of just hinted that you thought it was them.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But I would say not, because more often than not, we're not in a situation where we're down by one.
Fair.
We're in a situation where we're down by multiple goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say probably not the Sharks. I am interested in this, though. Who is it?
New Jersey Devils. Oh. 26 empty net goals against.
Wow.
The Sharks are obviously right behind them with 17. So it goes New Jersey with 26, the Islanders with 20, Coyotes with 19, and then the Sharks with 17. So they're in fourth, tied with the Blue Jackets in fourth.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big separation between New first Jersey, and everybody
how
else.
How bad's the New Jersey Devils season this year? They were supposed to be a lot better. They have a wicked good offense, but their defense, with Hamilton out, they've just been brutal, and then their goaltending hasn't been able to bail them out as much as they wanted it to. So that kind of makes sense. The Devils, a good team, good enough to hang in there to be within a goal in a lot of games. But, man, that's a brutal season for the Coyotes. 26? I mean, imagine that's 26. If you were to score, you know, 13 more goals, that's half. That's another 13 points in the standings. That could be the difference right there.
Absolutely.
Or even if you're able to shut those down, like, let's say you only have 7 of those against, and you have 19 turned into wins instead of losses.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Having the season that they thought they were going to
have. Exactly. Yeah. They're that, I don't want to say close, but that's obviously the difference maker of Hamilton being gone. Yeah. Their number one defenseman, more of like an all situation kind of defenseman, because he also helps run the power play, but he's their veteran shutdown guy in the back, and when you miss him for a season, that's what happens.
Well,
not a devil show, but I just wanted to bring that up.
I was gonna say, moving on to the Blues game. Now, this was a game that the Sharks not only get a win, not only score 4 goals to get this win, but they also get the shutout to get this win. Did you see this coming?
No.
Okay, no. I don't think anybody saw. First of all, a 4-0 win against the Blues coming. I don't think anybody saw the shutout.
No, and again, St. Louis is fighting for their lives to make the playoffs. So I thought for sure they were just going to mop the Sharks.
If I recall, that's what we said about these two games in the upcoming games last week.
Yeah.
Was that these two teams are both fighting for their playoff lives, and if the Sharks can do what they can to help lose to these guys and get Vegas to go down and out of the wild card, right?
Yep.
That was the thought. But the Sharks had other plans.
It's 4-0. Crazy. If the Blues won this game, they'd be within 1 point of that final wild card. Now they're 3 points out.
Yeah.
It's a big swing. This game, Blackwood earned the shutout. This was not like a 15 save, your defensive shutting down the other team kind of shutout. This was a standing on your head. He got 35 saves for this shutout. There was a lot of chances for St. Louis. And this seemed like the kind of game when, you remember when the Sharks were good? I don't know if you remember.
The
Sharks are good and they play a team that's just terrible, and it's just one of those nights where they can't score a goal. Like, there's no bounce that goes their way. Yeah. This is that kind of game for St. Louis. So Blackwood stood on his head, but he got lucky on a lot of stuff. They missed a lot of chances that were kind of wide open. It was one of those nights. And the Sharks were able to actually shut them down and complete the shutout.
Yeah.
Another one. Again, this was in St. Louis, and the crowd just in shock. Like, we got shut out by the Sharks.
That's pretty bad.
That's really bad. Really bad. On the road? Like, oh, the Sharks are on the road?
Yeah.
But, man, yeah. So
you were talking about some of the hard... We were talking about the Greer's guys, the hard work, right? Mm-hmm. And the forechecking and whatnot. And that blue-collar play style works out in the Sharks' favor in this game, specifically on a couple of goals. Go ahead. You want to talk about these?
Sure. The first goal was Philip Zadina. He was hard on the forecheck, gets a turnover, completely unassisted, gets the turnover, I think it was right behind the net and kind of came out front in the slot area and put it up high, if I remember correctly. 100% that was all Zadina doing all the work, all the dirty work. And this came in the second period, so it was 0-0 going into the second. Game was still up for grabs. At this point, let's see if they were outshot. I'm sure they were.
Yeah, if I remember, Zadina, when he grabbed it from behind the net, skated to the crease, and then wheeled around. He had his back to the net.
Yes.
Wheeled completely around and roofed it on him, yeah.
First period, St. Louis outshot the Sharks 11-3. So then the second period comes along, and this is almost halfway through the second period when Zadina gets the puck and scores a goal. Again, one of those nights where it's just like nothing can go your way for the Blues, and the Sharks' hard work versus skill doesn't, you know, hard work will usually beat out the skill if you're really disciplined. The Sharks are not really disciplined, so they're not doing so well this year. But again, this is the kind of team that Greer wants. Now, it's funny. I feel like the Sharks have a fantastic third and fourth line that has a balance of good scoring, good enough scoring. If they had that third and fourth line they have now back in 2016, 2018, I think they could have won
gone the whole way. Yeah.
So it's kind of sad that they now have a great third and fourth
line. Well, not to mention the goaltending.
Well, yeah, that too. Blackwood is way more solid.
So,
So the other goal I was going to highlight was Luke Cunning. Again, this was a turnover actually by Justin Bailey. He did all the hard work. He went to go shoot it after he created the turnover and went to go shoot it, but I think he got stick lifted by the defender. So the puck's loose, and Cunning came in and buried it in the corner. And that made it 3-0. Granlund had scored before that, and it was not on the power play, but it was the Lund line, Granlund, Zetterlund, Eklund, all getting in on the points there. That line is just amazing, and I hope that stays intact next season.
Yeah.
And they might kind of break it up a little bit with the new guys coming in, but who knows? They're very good and fun to watch. But two of those three goals were very hard-working goals, blue-collar ones. And then Ruda got an empty net goal. So it was really a 3-0 game. Ruda just kind of cleared the puck at the end, and I don't think it was shorthanded. They had the goalie pulled, and he just slapped it down the ice the entire way of the ice. More of a clear. I don't think he was really trying to shoot. Kind of a clear, I'll put it on goal if I can kind of thing, and it went in.
So when the Sharks are down by one, and they pull the goalie, and the other team scores like the 3-1 loss, right?
Yeah.
When it's like that, I was like, oh, it was like a 2-1 game, right? When the Sharks are out 3-0 and the other team pulls their goalie, no, it was a 4-0 game. I don't even care, dude.
I mean, there was 3.5 minutes left.
Yeah,
it wasn't like it was in the dying seconds or something. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm just saying, we're sitting here going, oh, you know, but it was really like a 3-0 game. It's like, no, we won that one. And we were up by 3. It was a 4-0 game. I'm not going to discount that empty net goal. Dang it,
Brad Carr just said, I laughed when the Blues fans booed their own team.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're,
I mean, you kind of have
make playoffs.
To.
They're not going to make playoffs.
Yeah.
And this might have been the dagger, you know, the one that sealed their fate. If they go on a streak and the other teams ahead of them are going on a streak, they're still going to miss it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a big deal.
You don't drive the car anymore. You're not handling your own destiny anymore. You know, you have to hope that the teams in front of you are losing. And that's not a situation you want to be in when you're a point or two or five or however many there are out of a wild card position. Yeah, St. Louis fans, all the rights in the world to be booing that team. I know for sure if it was the Sharks when we were a better team and we were getting shut out by a team that was at the very bottom of the standings. Imagine, not near the bottom, at the very bottom.
Imagine getting shut out by the Arizona Coyotes
exactly,
5 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, ugh, brutal. At home. Yeah.
The fans should let him have it, so yes. And, Brett Carr, I think you weren't the only one having a good chuckle there, so good on you, bud. Moving on to the Kraken game, unless you want to talk about Blackwood specifically.
Okay. I was going to talk about Blackwood.
Okay, go ahead. Fire away.
I talked about earlier about, you know, when Kakken was on the team, who would be better for the future.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, Blackwood now, because Kakken is gone, but... He's impressed when he's had his starts, and I was looking at his numbers. So I ran these, and this is from the beginning of... When did I start this one? This thing got messed up here. I think I did it from the beginning of January here. I'm looking at even strength.
Okay.
So I'm taking out the PK and the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Even strength, save percentage... He's at 907. 304 goals against, 907. The expected goals against, or the expected goals above, I forget what you call it. Goals saved above expected.
There you go.
7.84. So he's saving more goals than he should.
Right.
And Kakinen, who was beating him at that point, is actually less at 6.56 during that same time span. So... Blackwood coming to his own again. If he can stay healthy, I think this guy could be signed long term and be the future. Maybe the next. So it's, he's got one more year left on his contract. I would sign him to a 3, maybe 4 year deal. Maybe 3 because of his injury history.
Yep.
3.
Yeah.
That way, if he gets stuck or if the team, if he's not good and they don't have anyone else, maybe they can get out of it. Or if they do have somebody else, they'd be able to get out of it. But I think a 3 year deal extension, I think would be, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
I think you put a good team in front of him. He's healthy. He's going to lead the Sharks. I mean, he stole this win in St. Louis, a 4-0 win.
Absolutely.
I think he has earned my respect, I guess, for mm-hmm. being the goalie that everyone was hoping he could be. I'm sure New Jersey is kicking themselves for letting this guy go, considering how terrible their goaltending has been since. I mean, he was kind of bad the last 2 years. It's almost like, not quite, but when the Sharks got rid of Kiprusoff, because mm-hmm. Kiprusoff was not performing well with the Sharks, and then goes to Calgary and wins the Vezina. Yeah. I'm not saying Blackman was going to win the Vezina, but same situation where the Sharks kind of like, oh, good riddance, finally got rid of Kiprusoff, that third string goalie who was too good for the AHL, but not good enough for the Sharks to stick. So kind of the same sentiment here.
Yeah.
What do you think about Blackwood?
I've been happy with Blackwood since day one. When we got him, I was excited to get him because I knew he had potential. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, they overcoming injuries and whatnot, when they finally get back and they finally get healthy. I mean, heck, we've seen it with guys like Erik Karlsson. Everybody called him a glass cannon too, mm-hmm. right? The guy's made out of glass. You know, so having him come and play for the Sharks, I know a lot of fans didn't like it. I loved it. He was generating like crazy on offense. Maybe not the best defender on the planet, but that's what you were hoping for, and that's what you got with Blackwood. Same thing. I kind of knew what his potential was. I guess we just hadn't really seen it. So being able to, again, roll the dice on a guy. Now, sometimes it's worked out. Oscar Lindblom did not work out, mm-hmm. right? There are other guys that, you know, you bring them into your team and you're hoping they're like a reclamation project is going to work out. Granlund being one of them. Granlund mm-hmm. was having a horrible season. The season prior was Nashville, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was having a horrible season with them, came over to the Sharks. All of a sudden he's looking a lot
Pittsburgh.
Better.
Sorry.
Pittsburgh. My bad. Yeah. Before that, I think it was, because I know he said he played for the Wild.
He went from Nashville to Pittsburgh for Pittsburgh's run and then he just didn't do well. And then Pittsburgh dumped him.
So, I mean, I'm more than happy having him with the Sharks. He's been looking fantastic. Again, a bit of a project that, you know, everybody in the NHL is looking at and going, yeah, I don't know. And then he comes, plays with us, and turns things around. Blackwood, same thing. I feel like he's kind of turning things around. And if we could lock him up with a 3-year deal on a contract that is still fairly friendly because there's question marks around whether or not he's going to be healthy because we don't know how he's going to play in 3 years from now, right? Yeah. So I could definitely see them getting a good value out of the next contract with Mackenzie Blackwood. And I think if the Sharks play their cards right here, we could be on that third year ready to start really pushing for playoffs with these younger guys that are coming in, ready to make an impact. There's a lot of young guys, and we'll talk about a lot of them coming up here, or a couple of them at least coming up here. But they could make this team a very good team in a very short amount of time. Mackenzie Blackwood is a part of that. Mm-hmm. Watch out. I think the Sharks would be a team that other teams, we're going to surprise them.
Right. Let's make this a roll call question. Yeah. Tell us where you're watching from, and what do you think of Blackwood being the future of the Sharks goaltending, I guess?
So do you think that Blackwood is the future, or do you think the tandem of Blackwood and Vanecek is the future? Or do you think Vanecek is the future and Blackwood is the stopgap?
I'm curious to see how Vanecek does when he comes back from injury next season. I think those two together is going to be an even better tandem than Blackwood and Kakinen were.
I agree.
Vanecek, I think, still has a lot left in the tank and has a lot of experience being both in Washington and New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I think the Sharks are going to be set for goaltending if they can lock them up. Maybe not super long term, but at least give them a chance and see what they got together. I'm excited about it, and I'm happy about it, and I feel like the Sharks really don't have anything else in the wings that would be better than these two right now. I mean, goaltending is so hard to predict because goalies can get hot or cold. I mean, we saw Blackwood get cold for the last 2 seasons, and New Jersey soured on him. So it's hard to predict, but I mean, we got what? Magnus Corona is probably the next one that's even close to being a backup. Maybe Makaniemi is showing signs of doing pretty well because he's another guy who keeps getting hurt, but he's been healthy and performing very well, I think, recently. Romanov is another guy that's kind of a project. He's coming out of Russia. Mm-hmm. He's still pretty young at 24. Krona's only 23. Makaniemi's only 24. So kind of a good next age group. Goalies don't usually hit their stride till 26, 27. Yeah. So that's another 2-3 years for those guys to hopefully kind of hone in and get better and progress, whereas the Sharks can hold Vanecek and Blackwood for those 3 years.
Absolutely.
I just, as of now, I don't see those guys being legit starters. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Those guys being the ones that aren't Vanecek. Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. I'm very hopeful on both Blackwood and Vanecek. And again, it's tough because I think we've had a lot of prospects coming through that we thought were going to turn into something great. I remember when Emund, when he came through, we were excited about him, thinking that he was going to potentially be the future, and that obviously didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. So to have guys that are a little bit more established, it's strange, but it's almost a Doug Wilson move, right? Getting guys that are ready now to compete in net. Because Doug Wilson would do that. He would trade his futures, get guys that can win now and try to keep that playoff window open. And Mike Greer has decided to go and get some guys that are maybe reclamation projects, right? Because they were getting injured. And Vanacek's coming off injury. Blackwood was injured. Mm-hmm. In fact, even this season, again, injuries, right? So maybe that's where he's going with that. But he can get these goaltenders on the cheap, which he certainly did. But it just seems like more of a trying to get the guy who's going to get the wins now, who's got that veteran presence, who's been in the league for at least a few years, and then let the younger guys kind of grow, as opposed to throwing the younger guys in, which is what he's doing with the rest of the lineup, right? You're getting a lot of this youth getting injected into the lineup, but it's not happening in net unless we have injuries, in which case, Devin Cooley took the net or Magnus Krona took the net, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of interesting because the lineup is fairly young with a sprinkle of veterans here and there, but between the pipes, you've got some of the guys who are a little bit more established in the league in the past few years.
Yeah, next year, I'm looking at the free agent list. It's of goalies that are going to hit next year. The top goalie is Matt Murray, which...
No, thank you.
Yeah. Ilya Samsonov in Toronto. Chris Dreiger of Seattle. He was a very up-and-coming goalie out of Florida behind Bobrovsky, and they sent
him who?
Bobrovsky! Fleury, who will probably retire. He's 39.
Yeah.
Kakinen is the next best one up there. So not a lot, at least next season. So, but the season after that, let's take a look real quick. I'm curious if there's any really top ones. Shesterkin of the Rangers, sure they'll lock him up.
Yeah, they're locking him up. Come on.
Cal Peterson. UC Saros of Nashville would be interesting because they have another goalie already up and coming behind him. So depending on how much they'd want to spend on an extension for him, or maybe you see Saros next year get traded because Nashville's kind of bubble playoff team at this point. Linus Olmark of Boston is interesting because they have Swayman as well. And Swayman is an RFA going into this upcoming season.
So they control him, yeah.
Yep. Ottinger in Dallas is he'll be an RFA, though. Okay. Ville Husso is another one. I'm just throwing some of these names out. Yeah. We don't need to really get into it. So this upcoming free agency, not so many goalies, but the year after that, when Blackwood is his current contract is up, they could possibly hit the free agent market for a top goalie.
Would be very interesting.
Depending on what the roster looks
like. I was going to say, I think the Sharks might be ready for a top goalie, if you will, or the best goalie they can find in terms of being a veteran goaltender by that time, when that time rolls around, especially if you sign them to a 2 or 3 year deal. That puts those kids into their third, fourth, and fifth years, right? They could really be making a really strong impact, and they could be strong contenders for years to come.
Callan said, posters. I feel Vanacek plays well. Blackwood is traded, and San Jose plays Cronin and Vanacek for a 2A, 2B goalie tandem. I think he meant 1A, 1B, but maybe he didn't.
Oh, maybe he didn't, yeah.
yeah, I could see that, too.
Yeah, potentially.
Getting some more assets, depending on how next season goes. I'm assuming the Sharks are going to be better than they were this year, that they're not going to be dead last.
The Sharks will not be dead last next season. I'm fairly certain on that one. Yeah. So,
how certain?
I'm here we go. Here we go. Pipe it. Jeez, man. Everything. Why does it always have to end with a pie? That's all I want to know. You know, it's always.
Why not?
Okay. We didn't even get to the game yesterday, which was the Kraken game. Yeah. A 4-2 loss. This is another goal on the opening shift here. Yeah. What did you want to say about this one here?
Just the Kraken, I feel like, have the Sharks' number. They're a team that, different than Vegas, they have more hardworking players, kind of hard hat players. They do have skill, and they just, Shane Wright and Matty Beniers. Mm-hmm. But interesting enough, I think they both got points against in this game. But the Sharks just, I don't know, Seattle seems to own the Sharks, and that kind of sucks when you get owned by every team, especially the ones that are in your division. Zetterlund scored again, and Kostin another goal in this game?
He's looking like a great pickup. He's looking like... See, and again, for me, the thing that scared me about Kostin was just the skating. Just seeing that he was such a slower skater than most others. But it just seems to be working out for him. He's got, 4 goals and 8 points since the trade deadline, March 9th. So he's looking like, again, one of these reclamation projects that is working out well for Mike Greer. And these types of pickups are making him look like he really knows what he's doing as the GM of the Sharks, when a lot of people are saying some pretty nasty things about the pickups and the trades and the moves that Mike Greer has done.
I like what Mike Greer's done, and I don't think it's just... I don't want to say it's just Mike Greer. I think he's put a very good team around him. He's got way more staff than Doug Wilson's tenure ever did. So I think he's got really smart people and has a lot of different voices in the room that tell him different things, and he's listening and making the correct decisions. I mean, Kostin has 8 points in 12 games. He's already doubled the amount of points that he had when he was with Detroit, and he played 33 games and only got 4 points in Detroit.
Wow.
I could see why they traded him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, his ice time is also way up. He was averaging 8.42 in Detroit and is averaging 14 minutes with the Sharks. Part of that is because the Sharks are so bad, but they're giving him an opportunity, and he is running with it and doing well with it. So good on him for taking advantage of an opportunity given to him. Do you want to point something out?
Well, it's just Debbie saying, did I miss you all talking about Couture? I didn't realize we were going to be talking about Couture. I think he's going to retire.
We have not talked about Couture.
I said, do you know something? I don't know, Debbie.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but I think this is going to be a big summer for him.
Yeah.
Because he's out again with the same injury, and it's obviously not getting better. So, I guess he can decide. And we did. I looked this up. I slacked you about this. I was wrong about the retirement at 35 and your contract sticks. Okay. It's if you sign your contract after 35 and you retire, your cap hit is still there.
Yeah.
If you sign your contract before you're 35 and it runs into afterwards and you retire, it's gone. It gets wiped.
And I think that was the reason the Sharks didn't want to sign Pavelski to 3 years.
Yes. A term. It wasn't the money, it was the term.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And he wanted 3 years, which honestly,
he got 3 years in Dallas and got an extension twice. Has it been 5 years?
I think it's been 5 years.
Yeah. I think he's gotten two 1-year extensions after the original 3 years. That man doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
Takes care of his body, man. Like, that's the thing. It's like a lot of these, again, you look at the whole thing with Hurdle was he was 30 years old. It was, oh, he's 30 years old. I'm like, guys, like, I get that 30 is like a big number and that's supposed to be the decline, but it's not like you come into the NHL, you hit 30, and then you plummet. It's not how it works. Okay. You ramp up, you get to like 25 or whatever, and then you start getting better and better, and you hit 30 and you're going like this.
I don't know, man.
It's not a plummet, man.
Like, I hit 30 and it hurt to get out of bed.
Yeah, well, that's you, buddy. It's me too. I'm not trying to say
that morning,
I'm in any better situation over on this side of the table, but it's just
Just kidding.
We're not athletes.
More when I turn 40, not 30.
So, I don't know. We can move on from this if you want. I don't know if there's anything else to say about it. But
Yeah?
Okay, good. Let's move on. Good. Sharks power play. You're feeling it. They're currently 18th in the NHL with a 20.8% power play chance.
I mean, I was amazed that is their... I mean, I thought they were going to be closer to the bottom.
Yeah.
Not almost towards the middle.
Absolutely. Like
that middle third.
Absolutely.
But lately, they've been on fire. And they are currently, since March 9th, the day after the trade deadline, not the day of, the day after, sixth place in the NHL at 86.2%. That is pretty good. For considering they don't have Couture, they don't have Hurdle.
Yeah.
I mean, they were already hurt even before the deadline, but they traded away Duclair. They traded away, you know, a number of players, and their power play came alive. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like, wow, you gave the keys to the kids, and they're doing all right. You know? So you got Granlund. I think it's the Lund line, right?
Yeah.
So Zetterlund, Granlund.
Eklund.
Eklund. And then who's the other one that's on that top power play line? Well, they've been using Addison.
They've been using Addison.
Defender. And then there's a fourth forward, and I'm blanking on who they're using lately.
Sturmland.
Is it Kostin? Are they using Kostin because he's huge?
Yeah, Kostin. It's Sturmland.
anyway, that jumped out to me that, wow, this power play has been pretty good, and I feel like you've been seeing him score. Oh, Bortolo is the other one.
Yeah, Bortolo. There you go. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, thank you. Kellen just said boards. So, anyway, it was kind of a shock. And then I was like, oh, I wonder what the PK is like. Because obviously, I'm guessing it's not good since the Sharks are terrible. Yeah. And I'm right. They're 28th at 75.2. However, also since the trade deadline, after trading away their players, sixth as well for the PK at 86.2%. That is
fantastic.
Usually you like to add up the two.
You add up the power play and the penalty kill percentage.
You want to be close to
100. You want to be over 100. If you be over 100, you're in really good shape. So, and in this case, that's 106 point what? Math is hard.
112.2 plus 0.8.
What?
25.8 plus 86.2.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That if you're like that for the entire season, you're going to have a lot more wins than losses. Unless you're the Sharks.
I feel like the Sharks should try to avoid 5-on-5 at all costs.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're doing so well defensively when they're down a man. That's the thing that always confused me. How could you be a better defensive team when you're down a man? Doesn't make sense to me. Like, I know that you're focused on defense, right? And you're obviously not going to be scoring any goals because you're so focused on it. But, when you're in the defensive zone with an extra skater...
They've had a really good PK focus. The last, four seasons, almost leading the NHL, even though they've been towards the bottom. I think part of it is their structure that they've been doing. I don't think teams were figuring it out. They were limiting the amount of cross-ice passes. So they're taking shots where the goalies are already set versus the ones that can get across and their goalies aren't set, and you're going to see more goal scoring chances. I think that was a big part of it. They just had very good defensive forwards as well. Again, good third and fourth line guys that can kill penalties filled in their team. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense that their PK is good. And then getting good enough goaltending. Because you're not getting as many high danger chances against. You're really stopping those high danger chances.
But their PK wasn't good until after the trade deadline. That's the
this
point.
Season. But I mean, even the seasons before, they had kind of different personnel too. But it could have been, you know, some of the younger guys this season getting a bigger role because Couture wasn't there. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Not having Couture and even Hurdle was hurt for a lot of the times. Those guys were killing a lot of penalties and they were good at it. So I think that's part of why this season they kind of fell compared to other ones. But anyway, those are the special teams good news, I guess, on the season and even the last couple months.
See, we do everything we can to spin such a horrible season in a positive light, and hopefully you guys appreciate the mental anguish it takes to make it happen.
There are bright spots in the season where the Sharks are finishing dead last.
Oh, we have balloons now. Look at that. That's fantastic.
To lift us up.
I don't know. Another bright spot that's not even on the team yet, but is moving with the Barracuda, Philip Biested. I think that's how you say his name. Biested, not Biested.
I'm going to call him Beast.
Beasted, yeah.
Yeah.
He beastified.
Right.
So, Philip, again, trying really hard, folks.
Altered Beast from Sega Genesis.
Altered Beast. Oh my god, that's a throwback. Some of our audience isn't even old enough to, no. to remember any of that. No. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Beasthead going to the Barracuda. Now you're kind of projecting him to be a future fourth line center for the San Jose Sharks. Why is it that you think that? And is there any question marks around his play for you?
Well, I don't think he's a top six guy. I think he's a bottom six guy. But there's so many guys ahead of him in the depth chart, and just the way his game is, and he's enormous. He's more of a going to be a good defensive forward with scoring touch, and he can skate. That's the big thing, being that large and being able to skate that fast. I think that's just that alone will have you get some cups of coffee at the least in the NHL. I just don't think he's going to be skilled enough to compete and stay in a top six role. Maybe with the Barracuda, he can be in that top, maybe middle six, and get a little bit more bigger minutes than he would if he was with the Sharks, or when he will be with the Sharks. But potential fourth line, solidified fourth line center, maybe third line if he can hack it. I don't know. Depends on what the Sharks look like. This is going to be, I think, Nico Sturm's future replacement here for a fourth line center.
Okay, yeah. I hope that that's what he can be. For me, I know what Nico Sturm brings, and then it's more than just on the ice. It's also in the locker room and everything else. So I like him there. But again, for just the field of play, with Beasthead, it sounds like that the main thing with him, again, is that big long stride. He's got good skating still for such a large human being. Again, 6'4", 198 pounds. He's one crab dinner away from a 200-pound kid. So, I mean, he's a big boy, and he can drive he drives the net, man.
Crab dinner?
He had a lot of crab, buddy. 2 pounds of crab. Anyway, so he drives the net hard. He loves doing it. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch him on the Barracuda against professionals that just basically are one step away from the show, seeing what he can do at that level. Because, again, if he could be a middle sixth there, he can absolutely be a fourth line center.
He is coming from the Swedish league.
Yeah, he's already playing against men. Exactly. So
I think he'll transition well, just be a different ice.
Yeah.
And I think the Sharks, that's the reason they brought him over. For one, his season was done, so they could bring him over and he could start playing.
Yeah.
But also getting used to that ice. And I don't think he'll make the Sharks next season out of camp. But I bet he's going to have a leg up, I think, on some of these guys, especially the ones that are playing in Sweden and on the bigger ice surface, that he's going to get used to it a little bit sooner. And also going into the summer, going, this is what you need to work on, because this game is a little bit different being on smaller ice. You have a lot less space. Granted, he's fast and huge. Not like people are going to be knocking him around.
Yeah.
But it is a different game because you have more contact than you would in the Swedish game.
Absolutely. Yeah, with the rink being larger and money, you have a lot more space. And that's one of the hardest things for international players to deal with, is you take the rink and you have to kind of put it on a diet. It kind of it gets skinnier, right?
Yes.
So obviously, a lot more contact when you take away that extra room for them to be more creative. It'll be fun seeing him play with Edstrom, the pickup from the Vegas trade. Okay, he needs some chocolate chip cookies, yeah, Debbie
that's
says.
What I'm laughing at.
Okay. Well, Debbie, you're on the hook for that one, I think. Because maybe you.
Should bring those to practice. And I bet he will be like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hurly-whirly-gurly.
Oh, man.
We're bringing some Swedish meatballs.
Swedish chef on the Muppets.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so offensive. Anyway.
You're going to bring our IKEA furniture to assembly.
Yeah. The other bright spot here, Will Smith.
Yes.
We've talked about him a few times on this show, but so he is on his way to the Frozen Four. To play against, I can't remember if it was Michigan State or just Michigan or whoever it was, but one of the two Michigan teams had played each other. I forget who it was that won that game, but they're going to be playing against them coming up, if I recall.
They're playing Michigan.
Just Michigan. Okay,
sorry, they're playing Michigan
State.
Michigan played Michigan State.
That's what. Yeah, exactly.
And beat Michigan State.
Right. So now they're going to play against Michigan. Now on the other side of the bracket is Denver and Boston U. Now Boston U, of course,
Celebrini.
So not completely out of the realm of possibility for Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini to face each other in the finals of the Frozen Four here,
yes,
the championship game. That would be awesome to see two Future Shark players going head to head. Just gonna say it.
Future Shark players. Yeah, I know.
He doesn't want to say it because he's worried about getting disappointed. But
yeah, I'm waiting to be disappointed. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, no, it'd be exciting to watch. And if he gets to the finals, because they got to play one more in the semifinals. Regardless if they win or lose, that means the finals is on April 13th. The Sharks have two more games after that, the 15th and the 18th, both on the road. And one's in Edmonton and one's in Calgary. Do you think the Sharks would sign him and have him play for two games?
They sign him and have him play for two games. That burns 1 year off his contract. I remember that with Bortolo. I remember that happening with Bortolo. So I'm pretty sure...
Does it, though? Because he's under 20.
Oh, well, Bortolo was too, wasn't he?
I thought he was older.
Okay, maybe not then.
I think if you're 20... I can't remember the rules, but I thought if you're under 20, it'll slide. If you're under 10 games, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If you play nine,
yeah,
you can slide, because they did it to Eklund twice.
Okay.
And it's because he was so young. But they couldn't.
I think this is different because of college rules. Eklund's not wasn't a college player.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit different. Yeah, however,
I can't remember either.
However, regardless, would I like to see the Sharks give him those two games? Or does it make sense in the first place to even have him do those two games?
As a reward, and then also, like, to me, he has nothing left at the NCAA level. There's no reason for him to play next season at the NCAA.
I would have to agree with you. Maybe if they don't win the championship and he's got a little chip on his shoulder about it. And he's
He could also play for the Barracuda. Now, I don't think the Barracuda are in a playoff spot. If they were, I think maybe they would be pushing more to sign him so that he could join the Barracuda and go into the Calder Cup directly after the NCAA finals.
Yeah.
And he would definitely give the Barracuda a boost. That's for sure.
I would just like to see him play in teal in any way, shape, or form.
But he would be on the road, not at home.
I don't even care.
Well, I think if they're at home, I think they might push a little more, too, to get him to do it. You know?
Because?
Because he'd be at home and he'd be selling tickets. And everyone would be very excited to come see him play. Versus being on the road, it's kind of like, cool, you play for the Sharks.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. If it were home games, I think it would be a bigger deal to sign him and have him
for this season. Yeah, but if you give him those two games and he looks outstanding in those two games, maybe it helps your season ticket sales next season too, right? So I think there's still reasons to have him playing when you're looking at it from like a business side of things. But just as a fan,
but
I just want to see the guy play.
Also, kind of rewarding the season ticket holders for sticking through this awful year as you finally get to see your. The fruits of your labor, if you will, from last draft.
What's a season ticket?
What's a season ticket? Yeah. Good question. Man.
You had a big head tweet that you wanted to put out about him.
Oh, yeah. You got this on here? This is a fun follow on Twitter. Big Head Hockey. Most points from a D+1 NCAA player in the last 20 years. Sorry, I got something in my throat. Kyle Connor was 71, Will Smith at 67, 60 was Brock Besser, and 60 was Logan Cooley, and 57 was Gabe Perreault, which is this season. And then the question is, what's Smith going to do for the Sharks for San Jose next season? Again, I don't think he's going back to the NCAA. And someone just said, Nick just said, if BC loses, I'm sure Smith, Leonard, and Perreault would talk to each other about coming back to win the national title next year. I don't think so. Because... As soon as they sign their entry-level contract, they can no longer play in the NCAA. Right. I think, what's the point? They're not getting paid. They're leaving a lot of money on the table because, for them, they want to get their contract started sooner.
Yeah.
Because then that gets them to their out of their entry-level contract and into their next contract. Now, it's not great for the Sharks to burn a year, but personally, Will Smith would want to burn that year so that he can get the ball rolling because he's going to be an NHL player.
Right. There's what Aaron's saying, there's a cap on the entry-level contracts, so they can't get paid $2, $3, and $4 million a year like a normal player would. So they want to get out of that entry-level contract as soon as possible so that they can start making the big bucks. And if they go another year in NC2A, they burn a year of being an NHLer with an NHL or an ELC, entry-level contract, And they wouldn't be able to start that contract until the next season if they played another year in NC2A. So from a financial standpoint, yes, absolutely, they would want to play for the Sharks. But if they lose and they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder for some reason, I could understand where Nick's coming from, saying, hey, let's all come back, win this thing, and then go off and do our NHL careers. Right. We're all so young as it is anyway, right? We have many, many years in the show. But again, you just don't know if you actually do. And I think that, yeah, you're probably right. They would want to get that ELC started.
Yeah, I'm a former NCAA player, and there's living on Championship player, thank you. Yes, NCAA championship player. The rules for NCAA players is a joke. I know they just kind of laxed it and they're allowed players to kind of get paid in a way with endorsements and stuff, but it's nothing what they'd be getting, even with the entry-level contract, which is still not that much money. It's under $1 million.
Right.
There's no way that these guys would forego that for a year and also not burn that year of entry-level if they can, because they are all going to get paid. And I don't want to say it's all about the money, but for a college student that has to suffer another entire full year.
He's got student loans to pay off, but
no, he doesn't. No, they're all on scholarships. They don't have anything to pay off.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not there for school.
No, that's true.
And they're not going to be graduating either. Maybe down the road after their career's done, they go back to school, which we've seen some people do, but this is not that. So I just don't see them. I don't see either. You know, Nick was saying that all three would probably go back if they don't win. I don't think that would happen. I just don't see it. I think Will Smith will be competing for the Sharks next season. Now, Peter St. John did say, the one issue for me is Will Smith's size. Having him play one more season of college would be beneficial for him to fill out some more and avoid getting punished on a bad team. But when you can't give an NCAA player a second plate of pasta at the dining hall because it's against NCAA rules, I'm not making that up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how ridiculous the NCAA is. I can go off on a tangent on that. But
so just, Peter St. John, he would actually fill out more if he didn't play.
Exactly. It's more beneficial for him to sign with the Sharks and come at the end of this season, maybe for those two games, maybe go play the Barracuda for a little bit.
Yeah.
But go back this summer with, here's what we need you to work on. Here's how you can bulk up and get bigger in the gym. We're going to have a personal trainer with you. We want you in San Jose this summer.
Yeah.
And being around the guy like Logan Couture. We'll have Logan Couture be with you. Patrick Marleau's here. Joe Thornton is here. We're going to have you shadow these guys and see what it's like to be a professional. Bulk up as much as you can, but not too much. You don't want to get too big too quick because then your body won't be able to handle it. But he will get bigger. And that was Mike Greer's one thing when he was asked about why Will Smith was not playing this year for the Sharks. It was size. Had nothing to do with anything else except size. Peter St. John, the rules have changed since you played.
You're allowed to have a second plate of pasta.
Not by much. They have not. I'm telling you, they have not changed by much. But yeah. Anyway.
So here's a question: is Will Smith bigger than William Eklund?
That's a good question. I think he is.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I'm not too concerned with whether or not Will Smith needs to fill out a little bit more. For Eklund.
Do you remember last week we were talking about that other podcast with Pierre?
Oh, yeah.
Pierre, not going to work here. I can't remember his name.
Not LeBron.
McGuire.
Yeah, bald head. There you go.
He was saying the Sharks need like an enforcer type guy because he's very old school and thinks that that's what you need. But I understood what he was saying.
Somebody to protect the kids.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So Will Smith's not going to be able to protect himself. William Eklund, when he came in the league, same thing. He was very small.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have lasted an entire 82-game season when he was 18 years old. He was too small. I agree with that. Because all it would take is one hit. Look at Bedard.
Yeah.
Took a pop to the chin and was out for 6 weeks with a broken jaw. I don't disagree with that, but Will Smith will be a year older. He's going to have this entire summer to bulk up, which I guarantee he will. And I think Eklund, look at how gritty Eklund got this year, right? He was not like that a year ago. He was not sticking up for himself. He was not being a pest. He's added that to his game, and I bet you Will Smith would be able to do the same thing. maybe even like, you know, over the summer and going into the next season, this is what you need to do. This isn't the NCAA anymore. This is no more Mr. Nice Guy. Let's get in these people's faces and take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And Bandit had just said that Eklund bulked up a bit since last year. Absolutely. But he was there since last year. He was still playing in the NHL, right?
Right.
And he didn't get injured, really. So I think there's a lot of emphasis being put on, you know, they're younger, they're smaller. You need someone to protect them or keep them out of there, to keep them in you know, the AHL or whatever it is. Although you didn't like putting guys in the AHL because then guys are going to try to make a name for themselves by hitting or attacking that star player who, you know, is playing at that level. And, you know, hey, kid, you're not going to make it up there. I'm going to beat you down here. So I don't know. I still think that Will Smith, he's probably a guy that's going to be able to stand up for himself. And he's got enough guys around him, especially, again, the types of guys that Greer's brought in, these blue-collar type guys, these aren't exactly the highest skilled players, but they work hard, mm-hmm. right? And they're probably not going to put up with anybody messing around with the younger guys. I don't see Bailey letting somebody push, you know, Eklund around.
Yeah.
I don't see Sturm letting anybody push the kids around. Frankly, even when it's somebody else, I don't see Eklund taking that from anybody else. I've seen Eklund
stand up for guys.
Absolutely, right? Including himself. He's not waiting around for anybody to stand up for him. Yeah. Hockey players are a bit of a different breed. The fighting and everything else, like, there's a lot that's made out of fighting, but there's a toughness level. And when guys are constantly, you know, harassing a player, the guys around you that are your teammates, they generally don't take well to it. And even the player himself is more than willing to go to blows if need be.
Yeah.
That's not anything new. Now, maybe the Swedish guys, you know, because everybody's neutral there. You know, there's no, it's a little bit, you know, friendlier. Maybe they don't normally. But as we've seen with Eklund, he's that type. He's feisty. Feisty is the right word for it. Slippery Pete is a great nickname, but Feisty Bill is a lot better, I think. It's a little more descriptive.
Go back two seasons. Mike Greer, new GM, says this is the look I want for our team.
Yeah.
Hardworking, hard to play against, gritty guys. He's changing the culture leading up to these guys coming into the league.
And look how Eklund plays now.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's already building the foundation for a team to be like that, so that when Will Smith does come, it's already it's set in stone.
The expectations.
This is how, the expectations of this is how we play, this is how we stick up for each other. So I am not afraid of Will Smith joining this team next season. I think he will be. I think that's a big selling point as well for tickets.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Along with whoever they draft this year.
Yeah, it's going to be Celebrini and Smith, 1-2 up the middle. Or they'll move one of them to wing.
On the wing.
Yeah, they'll put somebody on the wing.
Yeah.
Probably the faster one. So I guess that would be Celebrini over Smith, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Smith's been looking pretty good, though. I've watched a couple of highlights and a couple of the games here and there and was able to...
He really elevates his game, man, when it's on the line. And again, reminds me of Couture.
Yeah, I was going to say, to get mentored by a guy like Couture might be the best thing for Will Smith, let alone... Absolutely. I mean, forget having another year in the NCAA.
Not just Couture, Marlowe and Thornton.
Sure, sure.
Two guys that are going to be at least one in the Hall of Fame with Thornton. Marlowe, possibly. Having those guys around... Just the culture of that, having them at the practice, you know, everywhere you go, run into these guys. Mike Ricci's another guy, you know, like just a lot of old legends here of the NHL and the Sharks being around. It's really cool.
Well, talking about the young guys, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here. The rookie scoring history. Now, you've done a little bit of work on this. I didn't even know what you were doing. So I'm going to let you just go ahead and take the wheel on this.
Well, I was curious. I was like, where does Eklund fall? Now, first of all, Eklund does not qualify as a rookie.
Right.
And the definition of a rookie is you can't have played more than 25 games preceding this year, which Eklund has not. But you also can have 6 or more games in any of the 2 seasons, which he did. He had 8, which sucks because he would be considered a rookie had he played 2 less games, 1 year?
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago, he played 6 instead of 8. So it's unfortunate that he's not considered a rookie because right now he's having a good season. He's got 12 goals, 24 assists, 36 points. And I was like, where does that rank in terms of Sharks' history of rookies playing? So then I looked, who was the best rookie that scored for the Sharks? You know, the best points, whatever. Pat Faloon. The inaugural season. Granted, the NHL was a different time back then. The goalies were awful.
Yeah, they had wooden sticks.
Right, yeah. 25 goals, 34 assists for 59 points. Now, I was wondering where he would slot in with his current...
Sorry. Minus 32.
Yeah, minus 32. Yeah, of course.
Keeping the Sharks tradition alive, buddy. Yep. Way to go.
You know what Eklund's at? Minus 43. So he's even worse. Anyway, his... What did I say? He had 36 points. He would be third on this list for rookie score. Oh, I'm sorry. Fourth. Tied in fourth.
Yeah.
But he still has games in hand, so he'd probably get a couple more points between now and then. But I'll just read down the line. Pat Faloon, 59 points. Rob Gaudreau, the following season, 92-93, 43 points. Matt Carl, 06-07.
That's a D-man,
42
too.
Points. Wow. Yeah. And then Jonas Donskoy and Brad Stewart, both with 36 points. Now, you remember Patrick Marleau and Marco Sturm, not Nico Sturm, Marco Sturm, came into the NHL the same year. Marleau had 32 points, and we've seen what he's done.
Yeah.
And Sturm was at 30 points. I remember when they joined the team, it was so exciting, especially because Marleau was very young. Like, he had just turned 18, I think, when he started playing. But anyway, that I thought that was interesting that I feel like he should be a rookie. Right? And if so, he would be right up there in some of the best rookies of the Sharks. So, just thought that'd be fun.
Okay.
That's why I put it in
cool.
there.
Cool. Thanks for that.
The more you know.
Yeah.
It's bringing up some old names here. And I was wondering, I was like, what happened to Pat Faloon? He had a great first season.
Yeah.
And then he just tailed off. And I read some about him. He was out of the league by 2000. Out of the NHL.
Oh, wow.
So, less than 10 years.
Yeah.
He was known for not being in shape. So, he was eating hot dogs before...
Before Phil the Thrill?
Before he was even born. Oh, okay. Right? Maybe. I don't know when Kessel was born. But Kessel, a throwback to the old. But Pat Faloon, had he been in shape, I bet he would have been stuck around for another decade into the NHL.
It's funny. You hear those old stories about the guys in between intermissions having a cigarette.
Ally Afraidy.
Yeah.
Ally Afraidy riding a motorcycle, smoking a cigarette in between periods. and I'm sure some guys had beers, too, in between periods. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a real throwback. He was a throwback. This was in the 90s. A throwback to, like, the 60s and 70s. Like, you just don't do that anymore.
Some guy on the stationary bike just with a cigarette in his mouth just pedaling around.
question from Kellen. Does Quentin Musty make the CUDA roster next year after being the best point per game player in history for the entire season?
Kellen.
He can't.
Kellen. Does he make the Sharks roster?
He can't play for the Barracuda. He can play for the Sharks, or he has to go back to the Sudbury Wolves until he's 20. That's the rules for the OHL.
Really?
Yeah, the OHL, just like the NCAA, they want their money.
Yeah.
They want their best players to not go to the AHL. If they go to the NHL, that's fine. If they're good enough to go to the NHL, sure. But if they're not, they have to come back to their junior team and play for their junior team until they're 20. So their 18 and 19-year-old season, they have to play for them. And I don't believe... I don't know how old Musty is. I'm going to have to look.
Well, I'm going to say, frankly, I think he's fighting for a position on the Sharks.
He is 18. Honestly. So he would have to go back and play next year. If he doesn't make the Sharks, he has to go back and play for the Sudbury Wolves.
He'll probably end up going back to the Sudbury Wolves for at least this season. But I think he's going to have a real shot, a real opportunity to come to the Sharks camp, the rookie camp, prospect camp, all those things that are happening there, training camp. There's so many camps. I think he's going to have a real opportunity to make that roster. And it might be difficult because, again, he's so young, right? To be a player in the NHL at the age of, then 19 would be a pretty fantastic feat. But Quentin Musty, by all accounts, is that power forward type. I don't think he's going to mind the physical stuff. And certainly he's got the skill to be considered. So it'll be very interesting to see all the camps that he goes through and how long he lasts. Because he might last up until the last day before they cut him, or they may not cut him. Because, again, the Sharks have a lot of guys coming off of that roster, and they may backfill it with a couple guys that are on the cusp. Mm-hmm. The only problem then would be if he does make the Sharks roster, do they have to keep him there the whole season because he can't go to the Barracuda?
Correct. If they send him down,
he goes back to juniors.
Okay. Yeah. He does not go back to the Barracuda, or he can't go to the Barracuda.
That's a huge jump to be playing against NHL caliber players, and if it doesn't seem to work out, okay, go back to the juniors. Yep. But then you know what? When you go back to juniors, you're not playing against men. You're playing against boys.
Yep.
And with the experience that he's got and the fact that he's already dominating at a year younger than he would be than if he was playing with the Sharks for even a brief amount of time, he would be absolutely dominant.
Musty has already signed.
Yeah.
So we could see him at the end of this season.
Okay.
When his season finishes.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the OHL finishes or his season, the playoffs are done.
Yeah, he can hop over.
He can hop over. Haltonen is another one. Kellen just asked because Haltonen plays for the London Knights in the OHL.
Yes.
Same rules. He's also 18, so next year he would have to play for them again or with the Sharks. I don't think Haltonen would make the jump. I don't think he's quite skilled enough to get there yet.
Yeah.
So I bet Haltonen plays another season, and then the year after that would join the Barracuda. Looking at all the prospects here, some other guys that are kind of in the same situation. Now, I don't know about the WHL, because Cagnoni is playing for Portland in the WHL.
Cagnoni.
I don't know what the rules are for WHL. I don't know if they're the same as the OHL, if they have to go back. I'm going to say no. Because I feel like the OHL is like a bigger kind of league than the WHL, like in terms of like attendance and everything else. So maybe someone can fact check that for me. But
yeah,
that's another guy that we could possibly see because he's having a heck of a season, kind of the point where what do you have left to prove, right, at that level. So yeah, those top three, Musty, Cagnoni, and Smith, I think would have a chance at camp to make the team. Maybe Cagnoni has a better chance than we think because their defense, the Sharks defensemen, offensive defensemen, aren't quite there.
Yeah. I think with the numbers that he's putting up, he could definitely get a look as a maybe like a power play specialist type, right? Nothing wrong with Kalen Addison, don't get me wrong. But they were running five forwards for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was only fairly recently, I think, that they actually had Addison on there. So to have another guy that could potentially, you know, step in and give that power play the extra offensive flair that perhaps they're looking for. Although it has done a lot better, as we just talked about, sixth in the league when you look at after the trade deadline. But you know, I think having a guy like that come in and just kind of give him a few minutes here and there, like at the end of the season, if he gets a look, that could be a good look into the future of what the Sharks blue line could look like. Because, again, we've got a lot of young talent already playing in the NHL. Not a lot of them are that offensive dynamo type.
Yep.
But, again, with the numbers that he's putting up, it could certainly contribute very well for a very young and not particularly offensive talented blue line, let alone team.
It's interesting. He's not signed yet.
Interesting. Cagnoni. Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about. If they're trying to delay it.
Is he not signed?
He's not signed. He's unsigned.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, that could be just they're delaying it and pushing it to next season.
Yeah.
Maybe. So his entry level contract doesn't start now and they can kind of, they know these guys are going to be in the NHL at some point, and they're trying to kind of long-term planning of when contracts will expire and when they don't.
I could have swore I saw something. I just pulled my phone out. I could have swore I saw something about him. I guess he would know it. No, I know what it was now. It was a tweet about him being prospect of the week. It didn't have anything to do with that. He was prospect of the
Not
week.
Not signing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same rules in the dub as in the O.
I say, I bet once their seasons are ending, I think we might see some of those pictures of them signing contracts with Mike Greer in his office. So
wouldn't shock me.
Keep a lookout for that. But yeah, those guys are, I mean, just looking at it, I'm on, Elite Prospects.
Yeah.
Shows me everyone in the system. And playoffs right now, if it'll load, Quentin Musty in three games has four assists. Cagnoni in three games has three goals and four assists.
That's ridiculous.
It's absurd as a defenseman. Haltonen has three goals in three games. Shemlevsky.
Yeah, Sasha.
This is an interesting,
yeah,
interesting one. He's in the KHL and he's up there and scoring.
Thinking about coming back.
Top scoring, right? Yeah. He's got 7 points in 6 playoff games right now. And he ended the regular season in the KHL with 56 points in 67 games. Now, the KHL translates not one for one to the NHL, but it's pretty close. Like, that's probably a 40-point season in the NHL, at 56 in the KHL.
Yeah, I'd still put KHLers up against, like, some really good AHLers, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, but this is a guy that would probably be, like, fourth line.
Yeah.
Fourth line center, kind of, with a little scoring punch. Maybe third line center.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, typical Shark that can slot in the top six for injuries and not look too out of place. But I don't know what happened with him and Greer. He kind of just bolted for the KHL, which is interesting, when it looked like he was going to have a position with the Sharks. I don't know if Greer told him something he didn't like or what, but he went to the KHL. Now, the Sharks still own the rights to him.
Yeah.
So, no, he's not a free agent, and it wouldn't be a free agent for a while. I forget how old he'll have to be. But there's been some talk. I remember during the trade deadline, there were some talks of some teams that were interested in bringing him over and trading for his contract. So that would be an interesting to watch that could happen this summer. We could see him getting moved for maybe an asset here. Maybe at the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe get a draft pick out of it.
I mean, at this point, if you're going to move him and you get anything in return, it's better than what he's been so far for them, right? A guy that left for the KHL. Anything you get in return, awesome. However, if he did decide, you know what, I'm going to give this another go with the Sharks, and whatever it was between him and Greer, we don't know. But whatever it was kind of gets swept under the rug, then he wants to make that comeback. Again, just another younger guy. Maybe not so much younger as compared to the other guys, obviously, but definitely not on the over 30 train, if you will. So definitely, you know, a guy that could fit into the Sharks' plans moving forward, but it sounds like there's more than just the skill level that needs to get figured out there.
Yeah, Shemlevsky is 24. He'll be turning 25 this June. So not super young prospect, but yes, probably worth a look at NHL team, kind of like Justin Bailey was.
Yeah.
A little late bloomer, kind of. Just a shout out real quick to who just said it. I just had it up here. Mark Pearson. Same rules in the WHL as the OHL. However, yeah, Cagnoni will be 20, so he will be eligible to go to the Barracuda next season, which I think he would.
Sharks Oregon said that one. Cagnoni's going to be 20.
Oh, well, right. But before that.
Yeah, yeah.
From Pearson, it is the same rules in the WHL as OHL. So if you're under 20, you do have to return back to your junior team.
If you're not going to play on the NHL roster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. a lot of good prospect talk there. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Upcoming games, though, for the Sharks this week here.
Sure.
We've got 3, which is fairly traditional. Thursday against LA at home, and then Saturday against St. Louis, again, at home. Mm-hmm. And then was it Sunday? So back-to-back there against Arizona, also at home. So this is an interesting one because the Saturday, Sunday games are 3 p.m. games. We don't normally see that.
Yeah, especially kind of back-to-back like that. That's weird for home games.
Did they have like a Taylor Swift concert afterwards or something?
I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's basically 2 family night games coming up.
Yeah, that's what it is. Maybe they changed the times to try to get more people in there.
Maybe. I think they do pretty well for those afternoon games because families can go.
Yeah.
I was going to look real quick. They only have 2 more home games after this week.
Yeah.
So kind of the last homestand here for the Sharks for the season. Yeah, I mean, I kind of want LA to win this game because they're now chasing Vegas for that last position in the Pacific, and it'd be wonderful. I hate to say it because I really am not an LA fan, but I'd
rather see Vegas get bumped.
I hate Vegas that much more than I'm rooting for LA, which is really hard for me to do. But if they could knock Vegas out, that would be just. I think it's just funny when the returning champ doesn't even make the playoffs. So. That's what I'm hoping for, I guess.
I hope that they don't make the playoffs, and then I hope the next season they find themselves where the Sharks are. Right now, that will not be the case, but it's a dream, you know.
Right.
One can dream, Aaron. All right. So going through these games here again: LA Kings, St. Louis, and Arizona. We've shown that we could beat St. Louis. Do you think that we're going to let, or St. Louis is going to let us have that, those points, one more time?
I mean, at this point, St. Louis' season might be over, so maybe they're checked out a little more. So I'm going to leave that wide open, especially that they're later, right, in the week, Saturday. They'll have some games before, so they'll know better of what their situation is going into the Sharks game. Depending on if L.A. stumbles, and what if the Sharks beat L.A., that would be huge for St. Louis. So we'll see how that plan pans out. This week will be interesting for the Sharks playing spoiler or helper in a way. But I'm not expecting any wins. Maybe Arizona, because they're just so far down.
Yeah, I mean, L.A. and St. Louis are both in the hunt for that wild card spot, that last little spot there. So those, I imagine, would be tough games, unless, again, as you said, St. Louis already knows that mathematically they're pretty much, it's not happening. They may be checked out. But even then, I feel like if the Sharks, last in the league, can take on a St. Louis team that thinks that they have a shot at making playoffs this previous week, and they smoke them 4-0, there's nothing saying that a better St. Louis team wouldn't come to the Sharks barn and just say, you know what, that for basically knocking us out of contention, we're going to slap you around.
Exactly.
Right? So I could definitely see that happening. L.A., I think, again, like you said, fighting for their lives, they're going to want to stay in there. They're going to come out guns blazing. And then Arizona is the only team really here that we'd be playing that is for sure out of any sort of playoff contention, I believe, mathematically even. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Are you expecting, first of all, are you expecting any wins out of these three games? And how are we looking in terms of getting to the 20-win mark?
Forgot about that.
Uh-huh. I know you did forget about it. It's something that we all want to forget about. But
we're 3 wins away.
Okay. With
8 games left.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If they can beat Arizona and they got two more wins to go in 5 games at that point, would it be 5? Oh, man, that's a lot to ask for.
Yeah.
Who are they playing here? Let's look at the schedule here. Do you see 3 wins on this board right now? I'm looking at the schedule
on the computer. I don't. L.A., St. Louis, Arizona. Then Calgary, Kraken, and then Minnesota.
The only thing I could see is Edmonton benching some guys, like McDavid resting because it's towards the end of the season. Sure. They already locked it up. Possibly lose or possibly win that game. Sharks possibly win that game. And maybe Minnesota at home for the home closer. That's 2 wins. And then if they get 1 this week against Arizona, I guess. It's possible.
Vegas' last 2 possible. Games are against Anaheim and Chicago, is what Kellen's saying.
Right, so LA's not going to catch Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. Regardless. Okay, so just do you see us hitting 20 wins? Are you still feeling like we might hit 20 wins?
I'm going to just say yeah. I'll go for it. And you're going to say 19.
I'm going to go with 19. I'm going with 19. We're going under 20.
Which was my number in soccer.
Oh, there you go. Not bad. 19 is a pretty solid number all around, I will say. I don't know if I see more than 1 win, somebody just said.
I know.
Who was that? Who said that?
Breikar,
okay.
Yeah.
Sharknado says that they won't hit 20. I'm with you guys. I don't think that they're going to get there. I'm 100% okay with that. Where are the Sharks in terms of the standings behind Chicago now? I think it's increased. I think we're like 4 points or so. Was it more than
Chicago went on a little win streak.
Yeah, they did.
So we have a 7 point.
7 points.
Yeah.
We have a 7 point lead.
Right. So they can afford to get to 20 wins.
For those in the podcast, I'm air quoting like crazy right now when I use the word lead. But yeah, so seven points ahead.
So even if they win those 3 games and get to 20 wins, they'll still be in last place.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I don't mind them going for getting 3 more wins for the season. I don't mind anymore. You know, like where I'm rooting for them to lose, now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they already got it locked up for the most part.
Yeah.
Not officially.
So as long as the Sharks don't get 21 wins, we're guaranteed, right?
Yes.
Guaranteed. Okay, so that's what we're rooting for. Actually, you never know with overtime losses and stuff, though, too. We might pick up a point here or there. Could be bad.
Right.
We don't want to do a whole bunch of overtime losses. So
straight regulation losses, 3 regulation wins. I'll be happy. If they get to 20 wins, that'd be nice.
I think there was a tweet, somebody said something to that effect, like, gosh, you guys need to lose or whatever, and Randy had replied back to them saying, oh, I'll be sure to let the guys know, right? To just, like, forget about trying to play hard or whatever else. Yeah. Like, man, this is not what the players are thinking. The players are not rooting to get the first overall pick and bring in a guy who's going to take their job, their salary.
Half those guys won't even be on the team next season. Why do they care?
What do they get? Yeah, exactly. They don't care. No. And again, the guys that do have a contract beyond that season, if they're potentially going to get bumped out of the lineup or traded away and go somewhere where they're going to get pushed down to the AHL because they can't make that NHL roster, but they could make the Sharks, like, they don't want that guy to come in, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I think.
Do you think Blackwood gets a shutout again between now and the end of the season?
Ooh, shutout, no. Not a shutout, no. No. And part of that is because I don't think he plays every single game, number one. So he's only going to have a handful of opportunities, right? Because they're going to play, they're going to give Krona a game. They're going to give Cooley a game or something, right? Why not?
There's no more back-to-backs.
We just said there's a back-to-back. Sorry,
that's the last back-to-back, so. So season.
Between St. Louis and Arizona, it's not going to be Blackwood.
No.
He's not going to start eight games.
It'll be Cooley. Didn't they send Cronas down, right?
Yeah, but they just shift them around. Right. No big deal.
But I think Cooley would get the stars at that point, not Krona.
Sure. I don't think we're getting to 20 wins. I don't think he's getting a shutout. And I think we do get to see at least one prospect.
Would love to see Cooley get a home win. I agree.
Absolutely.
And he almost had one at that last start, and the Sharks blew it. So. Yeah,
they blew it.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I would like to see a Devin Cooley win.
That would be cool. That'd be a good feel-good story for the Sharks to end the season with.
Absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think they get to 20. I'm going to say it.
They're not going to get to 20, but I'm hoping Cooley gets a win and makes it number 19. There you go. Okay, Aaron, any other comments that you want to pull out? As long as we're here, we're nearing show completion. So,
No. I mean, just what we were talking about.
Okay, very good. As Super Producer Jason has just put up there, if you are enjoying the stream, please feel free to give us a like. That's the thumbs up button. Please avoid the thumbs down button at all costs, because that is the... Unless you're upside down, then hit the upside down thumb button. But regardless, the like button is also a nice one you can press. So if you... Well, that is the one we're talking about. So yeah, hit that, please. Thumbs up. There you go. Also, the subscribe button. If you're not subscribed, I don't know why. We only do this show like once a week, and sometimes it's on a Monday, sometimes it's on a Tuesday. We don't even know half the time. So how could we possibly let you know, other than for you to have that button pressed with the notification bell. Of course, you will know when we're going live. You can jump in here and have a nice conversation with all the fine folks. Everybody in there is a fine conversationist.
Very fine people.
There you go. Yeah. Yes. So even when we have folks from other teams popping in here, when we used to be a playoff team, they would have a lot of good conversation.
We have fans from Vegas. We have
with St. Louis, tonight. Colorado.
Yeah, New Jersey. We had a bunch of New Jersey guys.
Yeah, we've had there's some from trades and whatnot. Guys from trades, the other teams that we traded with have been in the chat before. So it's been a great time talking with them and everything as well. So again, if you are subscribed, you'll know when we're doing this. You can hop right in the chat. Otherwise, you need to figure it out some other way. And hopefully, it's finding out through one of our other fine subscribers retweeting or reposting, because that is the best way to share this show out there. Get this out to your other Sharks friends and family so that they know that we're there, that the show's going on, that we even exist. Again, we have the new sub telling us, you know, thanks for the show, but you guys need to do the chapters. Hey, thanks for being a subscriber. Appreciate that.
We'll put the chapters in, I promise.
We will do the best we can with that one. And if you'd like to support the show, again, Peter St. John did it even before the show started. So, Peter St. John, thank you so much for the $10 Super Chat. Does help us out. You can do that as well, Super Chat function, or Venmo at the Fin Factor. You can also go to thefinfactor.com, pick up any of the merch that we have there. I've made up things. I'm not going to make up any more. But there are certainly hats and sweatshirts and t-shirts and water bottles, things like that, all kinds of swag. So you can look almost as good as Aaron or myself. So I think that is everything. Is that everything? We're good? Oh, yeah. Spotify.
Oh, find us on Spotify. We are on Spotify, and you can even watch on Spotify because they do video on there now as well. So if you have a subscription, or even if you don't, on Spotify, just type in The Fin Factor and you'll find us on there.
I thought you were going to say, if you have a monitor, you can watch it.
Well, no. On your phone, on your computer.
It's anywhere where there's a screen.
Wherever you want to listen to our lovely voices.
Ramblings.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Talk to your Google Home or Alexa. All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You can talk to Alexa.
I've done that before. I have said Alexa.
So if I said, hey, Alexa, play the Fin Factor, would it work?
Well, right now, it might actually trigger someone's... Yeah, there you go. I did that on purpose. Anyway, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the stream as much as I have. I have such a good time doing this with you guys every single week, and it's one of the things that we haven't done a recorded show in a while, and I think this is why. It's just too much fun being able to chat with you guys live. So hopefully we continue that through next season with more of you guys in the chat. So please, again, if you can, get this out to the rest of the people that you know that might enjoy the show as well. Okay, I think that does it. Aaron, any last words?
No.
Good. For Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
We will see you guys
next week.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.